The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 24, text number 74, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 27th, 2008, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 24, text number 74.
Taigi šiandien toliau skaitome Šrimad Bhagavatam, ketvirtą giesmę, 25, 75 tekstą.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ate dang nitya dayukto. Japanna vahita puman. Acharashtreya apnoti. Vasudeva Parayana. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. A devotee of Lord Krishna, whose mind is always absorbed in Him, who with great attention and reverence chants this stotra prayer, will achieve the greatest perfection of life without delay. Perfection means becoming a devotee of Lord Krishna. As stated in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 1-28, Vasudeva para Veda, Vasudeva para Makha. The ultimate goal of life is Vasudeva or Krishna. Any devotee of Lord Krishna can attain all perfection, material gains, and liberation simply by offering prayers to Him. There are many varieties of prayers to Lord Krishna, chanted by great sages and great personalities such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Lord Krishna is known as Shiva Varinshi Nutam, Bhagavatam 11.5.33. Shiva means Lord Shiva, and Varinshi means Lord Brahma. Both of these demigods are engaged in offering prayers to Lord Vasudev Krishna. If we follow in the footsteps of such great personalities and become devotees of Lord Krishna, our lives will become successful. Unfortunately, people do not know this secret. Nate vidu svartagatim hi vishnum. They do not know that the real interest in the highest perfection of life is to worship Lord Vishnu, Krishna. Bhagavatam 7.5.31. It is impossible to become satisfied by trying to adjust the external energy. Without being a devotee of Lord Krishna, one can only be baffled and confused. To save living entities from such a calamity, Lord Krishna points out in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Bohunam janmanamante gyanavan mam prapadyate Vasudeva sarvamati sa mahatma sudurlabha. After many, many births and deaths, a wise man surrenders unto me, knowing very well that I, Vasudeva, am everything. Such a great soul is very rare. We can achieve whatever benedictions we want simply by becoming devotees of Vasudeva.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Balakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam sagar jatam sahagana raghunatan vitam tam sajivam sadaitam zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha.
Chanting is very much emphasized here.
Taigi, kartojimas, meldimas jis yra čia labai pabrėžtas.
With great attention and reverence. And Prabhupada is actually saying that whatever benediction you desire can be achieved by this pure bhakti. Of course, the pure devotee, he has no personal desire for sense gratification. His only desire is to please the Lord unlimitedly. And because the pure devotee's only desire is to please Krishna, Krishna satisfies all of his desires. In this world, we have so many material desires. And therefore we are frustrated. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that, and I cannot have it. Because it's not within my karma. Therefore, I get angry. Jhayato vishayan pumsam sangateshu vajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodo vijayate Krodad bhavati sang maha sang mahat smriti vibrama smriti brangshat buddhi nasho buddhi nashat pranashyati. Krishna describes in chapter 2, texts 62 and 63 of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. What happens to a person who has material desires? How does it begin? They contemplate the objects of sense enjoyment. That's the first thing. Just by meditating on them, you see. And what happens? If you keep thinking about some sensual pleasure, then it stimulates your lust to have that sensual pleasure. And then when you can't get it, then what happens? You become angry. Oh, I can't have it. From anger, after anger, then you become deluded. And then your memory becomes bewildered. You forget the science of Krishna consciousness. And in such a state of mind, your intelligence is completely lost. And what happens then? Bloop! You fall down into the material pool. So, we don't want to bloop. That's a common word in ISKCON in America. If someone gives up Krishna consciousness, says, oh, he blooped. When somebody falls off the ship and hits the water, they hit the water, bloop. So, the way to protect ourselves from falling down is to avoid contemplating the objects of sense enjoyment. But the problem is those ideas are constantly flooding our consciousness. That's the difficulty. So how do you deal with the fact that those ideas are always coming into the brain? Krishna tells exactly what to do. A few verses later, you see. You go, if you, in the same exact chapter, you go to text number 70. Then Krishna tells you what to do with all these sense gratificatory thoughts that come into your brain. Apur yamanam machala pratishtam samudrama papa vishanti yadvat tadvat kamayang pravishanti sarve shushamtam apnoti nakama kami. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires. That enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but always remains still, can alone achieve peace, and not the person who strives to satisfy such desires. In other words, you shouldn't become bewildered if so many materialistic thoughts are entering into your mind. And think, oh, it's hopeless, I can't be a devotee, I always have material thoughts flooding my mind. Don't be disturbed about that. But just learn how to deal with them in a proper Krishna conscious way, that's all. Krishna gives a very nice simile from the Bhagavad in this verse of the Bhagavad Gita. The ocean has so many millions and billions of gallons of water flowing into it at every minute. But does that ocean keep going higher and higher? No, the ocean remains the same level. So, even if so many material thoughts are entering into your heart, entering into your mind at every minute, that's all right. As long as you don't act on them. Then you're okay. One time Prabhupada sent his servant Upendra on an errand. He sent him to the store to buy something. And Upendra came back, he said, oh Prabhupada, my mind was so disturbed. I saw this beautiful girl and my mind was just horrible. My mind was so disturbed. But Prabhupada said, but you went to the store and you came back, so you accomplished the mission. So it's natural that so many thoughts will flood the mind. But just don't act on them, that's all. Just remain steady in your service, in your duty. Don't put your hand in the mouth. Yeah. Dirty, your mouth is very dirty. You also. Careful, you get your hand in your mouth. Not the hand in the mouth. Yeah. Prabhupada never wanted we put the hand in the mouth. It's a very dirty thing, the mouth.
Yes.
So we have to stick to our duty in all circumstances. We have our prescribed number of rounds every day. We have our four regulated principles. We have our morning program. We have our duties. We have our preaching mission. Simply fully absorb yourself in executing your duty with great attention and reverence. Actually, our service and our is not different from chanting Hare Krishna. Just as we glorify Krishna by chanting His name on the lips, we also glorify Krishna by performing our duties sincerely. So in this way, one is always chanting Hare Krishna. Even honoring Prasadam is chanting Hare Krishna in that sense. Prabhupada told us. I've told you previously this. Prabhupada said everything is kirtan. Kirtan is kirtan. Reading is kirtan. Writing is kirtan. Taking Prasadam is kirtan. He said everything is kirtan except for sleeping. And that is waste. Shishi Ganitai ki jai, Shishi Varadamadar ki jai. Of course, we have to sleep, that is all right. Prabhupada even said if you're sleepy, you can take a snap. And that was one of those words we only heard from Prabhupada. It's like a nap, but a snap is like a brief nap. Take a snap. But he said, not too much, just enough to refresh. So the idea is to always remain actively engaged in doing service. To always be on duty for Krishna. And just take whatever rest is necessary so we can keep doing our duty in a first-class way. If we absorb ourselves nicely in this manner, then it is guaranteed that we will achieve the greatest perfection of life without delay. Just by becoming absorbed in pure devotional service, one has achieved the greatest perfection of life. It's even greater than having the post of Brahma. In this material world, everyone is struggling to make advancement in this material world. They want more money. They want more power. They want more popularity. They want nicer facilities, material facilities. But such persons can never be satisfied, because they remain in the bodily concept of life. This body is a losing proposition. This body, serving this body is a losing program. You can't come out ahead just by engaging in bodily service. You will be a loser if you simply serve your body. Because no matter what position you may have, even if you're Brahma himself, your body will still get old, it'll die. So instead of endeavoring so much for material satisfaction, we should endeavor to achieve the greatest perfection of life.
Taigi užuot siekus materialus progresą, turėtume siekti aukščiausią tobulumą.
By becoming fully absorbed in devotional service.
Būdami visiškai pasinėję į demoternystę.
Then we can get out of this miserable situation.
Ir tokiu būdu mes galime išsivaduoti iš tokios kenčiančios pozicijos.
Where the modes of nature are always attacking us.
Kur gamtos būnas pastoviai mus.
Sometimes we're overpowered by sattvagun.
Kartais mumise dominuoja sattvagun.
We proudly think, yes, I'm a great Brahman.
Mes galvojam, o, aš didis Brahmanas.
Sometimes we're overpowered by rajagun.
Kartais mumise dominuoja rajagun.
We become very lusty for material sense gratification. Sometimes we become overcome by tamagun. We just want to sleep, 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 sleep. So we have to overcome the influence of all of these modes. And become solidly situated in service to Guru and to Krishna. And in this position, no anxiety will ever be able to touch us. There's an English word, impervious. That means nothing will be able to penetrate your spiritual bliss. The most miserable things could happen to you, but because you're so fixed in Krishna consciousness, nothing can take away your happiness.
Niekas iš jūsų negalės atimti jūsų palaimos.
Why?
Kodėl?
Because you're always seeing everything in relationship with Krishna.
Todėl, kad visada matote viską susijus su Krishna.
You're seeing that the hand of the Lord is acting in every single circumstance.
Matysite, kaip kiekvienoje situacijoje matysite Dievo ranką.
Even in the greatest calamity.
Netgi pačioje didžiausioje nelaimėje.
This was Kunti Devi's vision. That even the greatest calamity she took as the special favor of Lord Krishna. In fact, when the calamities were over for Kunti Devi, when the horrible, torturous years of exile in the forest were finished and she was now living comfortably in the palace, she was begging that the calamities would come again. Vipada shantutash shashvat tatra tatra jagadgaro bhavanam darshanam yachad apunar bhava darshanam. May those calamities come again and again. She was begging Krishna, please give me more calamities. Because when those calamities come, I have nothing to do except intensely take shelter of you. And when I intensely take shelter of you, I know I will no longer see the repetition of birth and death. Sometimes we are all attacked with very calamitous situation. We may be in a very diseased condition. Or one of our beloved or close associates may be in a very diseased condition. Even to the point of being on the verge of death. Where it's emotionally a very, very heavy, heavy thing. These sort of moments are actually very valuable for one's spiritual life. Krishna used to put the Brijabasis through this. They were constantly going on an emotional roller coaster ride by Krishna's arrangement. Krishna got entangled in the coils of Kaliya serpent. Krishna was all wrapped up in the serpent, Kaliya. And it looked like the Kaliya serpent was going to kill him. And the Brijavasis were standing there on the shore watching all this happen. They couldn't do anything. They just fainted and went into complete total anxiety. They felt helpless, especially Mother Jasoda. It was just killing her to see her son being killed by the snake. And then Krishna came from apparently on the verge of death. And he smashed the hell out of that serpent. And subdued him. And the Vrijavasis were just completely ecstatic, you see. Krishna has defeated the serpent. And then they were walking home after this intense emotional experience. And they were surrounded by a forest fire. They were almost going to be devoured by the forest fire. You see. They had just gotten over this whole thing of seeing Krishna the serpent. Now everything was okay, but again another calamity came. You may wonder, why is Krishna putting his pure devotees through all of this, all these calamities? Actually, Krishna simply likes to see how much his devotees can take shelter of him. You know what he used to do with Radharani? They'd be swinging, you see, in the swing, very high in the swing. And Radharani would become very scared because they're swinging so high, you see. And then Krishna, the swing, you know how the swing? People sit on the swing and swing. Krishna and Radharani were on the swing together. So Krishna wanted to get Radharani so scared that she would hang on to him very tightly, see. And then Krishna took the swing and he went all the way over. So Krishna likes to put his devotees into situations where they feel totally helpless and they just have to call out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So the next time you're faced with a calamity, don't feel bad. Understand that Krishna is giving you a special blessing where you can feel absolutely, totally helpless. And you have nothing to do except to cry out for Krishna's mercy. So it sometimes happens. Just as the Brijavasis were put into calamities, sometimes Krishna puts us into calamities also. So we have to take it as the opportunity to intensify the helplessness of our prayer, the total feeling, I would say, to intensify the feeling of total dependence that we have in our prayers to Krishna. And if we have this mood, then we'll always be in transcendental bliss. We'll never become devastated, even by the most calamitous circumstance, such as the moment of death of ourself, of one of our beloved associates. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Yeah.
The words like Chaitanya and Prana, they have the same meaning, like vital energy. Is there any difference between these words?
I'm not a Sanskrit grammarian. I can't really give you an authoritative answer. I am a teacher of the science of bhakti. I'm not a Sanskrit teacher. But that living forest, whether you call it prana or you call it chaitya, whichever you want to call it, you must offer it completely in Krishna's service. And then it becomes perfect. Your prana or your chaitya, whatever you call, if you completely dovetail in Krishna's service, then you become perfect. Simply being an expert Sanskrit grammarian does not save one at the time of death. That's confirmed by Shankaracharya. He told his disciples, your grammatical knowledge will not save you at the time of death. Bhajagovindam, 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 Vudhamate. You fools, just worship Govinda, worship Govinda, worship Govinda. So whether you call the life force as prana or chaitya, just worship Govinda. Next, yes.
How can we distinguish when the calamity is sent by Krishna and then we create it by our foolishness?
Yes, the calamities that you create are when you forget Krishna. That is the calamity that you create. But the external calamities of this world, they are all going on under the energy of Krishna. Birth, death, old age, and disease. These are Krishna's arrangement. To help you come to your senses and realize this is not your actual home. So the miseries of material existence, they are happening under the arrangement of Krishna. But your forgetfulness of the Lord, which is the ultimate calamity, that is under your misuse of your free will. Next question. Yeah.
We know that Krishna takes care about everything and he supports.
Krishna is what?
Takes care about.
Takes care. Okay.
He supports. Mm-hmm. And how to do that? Devotee would not misuse this understanding that he knows how Krishna will do. Krishna will take care about this, so I shouldn't worry about it. How do not fall in this?
Yeah. Simply remember the example of Arjuna. Krishna is the doer, that is the fact. Krishna is the doer, that is the fact. But he wants you to be the subordinate doer. He told Arjuna, all the warriors, the enemies on this battlefield, they've already been killed by my arrangement. But I want you to go forward and fight this battle and you take the credit.
aš noriu, kad tu eitum, kautumės ir prisimtum savo.
Krishna did not want Arjuna to remain a weeping, emotional basket case, as we say in English, on the chariot.
Krishna nenorėjo, kad Arjuna toks būtų toks verkšlenantis.
He wanted him to arise and to fight the battle.
Jis norėjo, kad jis stotų ir kautųsi.
So, even though Krishna is the ultimate doer, he's the real hero of everything. But he wants that you should be a hero. Just like the father, he was never very good in sports. But if his son becomes a star athlete, he becomes very pleased. So Krishna is the actual doer of the episode of which he makes his devotee the hero. Krishna likes that. He wants to see when his devotee becomes the hero. So that means you have to do something. You must act heroically in the service of the Lord. You must be brave. You must be enthusiastic. You must be determined. And you must be patient. Krishna does not want sit-down Vaishnavas. You simply say, well, whatever Krishna arranges, that's all right. I will sit here and wait for him to bring me my chapatis. No, you must go forward and serve Krishna with great enthusiasm. And understanding it is by His mercy I'm able to do this. That is the right move. Don't be a lazy fellow. Be a fighting Vaishnava. Prabhupada wanted fighting Vaishnavas, not lazy fellows. Next question. Yes. Hari Bol Ananda Prabhu.
Krishna Sako.
Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, just give up all your duties and surrender to me. But we have a lot of duties. We have to chant, we have to read and serve.
That means your mundane duties, not your spiritual duty. Arjuna's spiritual duty was to fight. So you have your spiritual duties. You have to chant your 16 rounds. You have to attend Mangal Arati. You have to follow the principles. You have to preach. You have your spiritual duties. You give up all material duties, not spiritual duties. Surrender means you do whatever instructions you're given by your spiritual master. Your spiritual master has put you under the direction of a temple authorities. So you must execute whatever duties you are given by your temple authorities also. That is surrender. You can't tell the temple commander, well, I'm giving up all duties because I'm surrendering to Krishna. That's completely bogus nonsense. Prabhupada would be very angry with you. He would chastise you like anything for twisting the philosophy around your laziness. Any other questions? Yes.
What is the order of the spiritual planets? Is there any system of Varnashrama Dharma?
On spiritual planet?
Yeah.
In Vaikuntha realm?
Yes.
Is there Varnashram Dharma there? Well, there's no rules and regulations there. It may be happening spontaneously, but there's no... They don't have any following rules and regulations in the spiritual world. Everything is there just going on in a state of ecstatic bliss, that's all. No one has to worry. You don't have to chant, you don't have to count your rounds in the spiritual world. You don't have to worry about, I mean, everything. You don't have to worry about overeating even. Everything is just going on in perfect spontaneous love of Krishna. But don't try to imitate that here. You can't do that. It's called sahaja. Now you have to follow. You have to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. You have to strictly follow his instructions. And then you become purified. The example is given like this. A sick man, he's on a very restricted diet. It's like a Hare Katha Prabhu. You're a very sick man now, isn't it? I wanted to take the Sunday feast with him yesterday, but then I heard he wasn't able to honor it. So I was disappointed. I couldn't take the Sunday feast with Hare Katha Prabhu. Because he's sick. So a sick man, he's on a restricted diet. But when you become healthy, then you can take prasad as you like, you see. So now we are sick people in this material world. We have to follow so many rules and regulations. The brahmachari, he has his duties, you see. The householder, the vanaprastha, the sannyasi. There's so many rules and regulations. Then when we become liberated souls in the spiritual world, then we are not obliged to any rules and regulations. Questions more?
What to do when you observe that you are proud, becoming proud? What to do?
Yes, when I observe that I'm acting in a puffed up way, then I should pray to Krishna to help me. My dear Lord Krishna, I can see that I'm becoming very, very proud. I realize this is a great impediment for my devotional service. Therefore, I'm begging your mercy that you please help me to give up this false pride and become perfectly fixed in humility. If you will pray to Krishna in this way, he will definitely reciprocate with your prayer. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I have a question about new people coming to Krishna consciousness. Sometimes new people come and they are at the beginning very enthusiastic, always Hare Krishna, and they are so happy. But after some time, it's like they're started to fade away, and many people, like, after some time, they leave. So why is it so?
Okay.
noriu paklausti klausimą apie naujai atėjusius žmonės į šitą judėjimą. Iš pradžių jie būna labai entuziastingi ir viską daro, o palaipsniui jo entuziasmas prapuola ir galiausiai kai kurie iš jų išeina iš judėjimo. Kodėl taip vyksta?
You can read in the Bhagavad Gita that happiness in the mode of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison in the end. So we can understand, therefore, their devotional service was being executed in the mode of passion. That's why eventually it became poison for them and they left. It was some new thing, some exotic, new, different lifestyle, you see. They would rebel against the culture from which they came, as they didn't like very much. Now they can rebel against it by taking up a different culture, so it's fun, it's exciting. Because it's not being done for Krishna, it's being done for their own pleasure. They don't find satisfaction in the long run. The point is, when you come to bhakti, you have to understand you are no longer the center of enjoyment. You have to kick out the false principle that you are the center of enjoyment. If I'm doing Krishna consciousness for my own enjoyment, I may be very enthusiastic, but it's just rajagun is all it is, you see. But if I'm performing bhakti for the pleasure of Krishna, that's transcendental, you see. And I will, if I'm doing, acting on that level, then I will never leave. So we have to carefully train our new members how to execute the mood of pure devotional service. This is why I sometimes give seminars on pure devotional service. Because this is the most important thing. If we don't have the mood of pure bhakti, then we may do so many things. We may build so many temples, distribute so many books, we may distribute so much prasadam, we may do so many things, but if the mood of pure bhakti isn't there, we'll be in the lap of maya. So therefore, do everything for the pleasure of Krishna. This is how we must train our new members. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. And again, thank you to Hare Katha Prabhu for coming.